Hello, this is Chris Yerkes reading to you from the November 5th edition of the County Chronicle. We'll begin with the first page stories. Arcola City Council allocates $170,000 more to downtown by Ben Crane. The Arcola City Council allocated $170,000 of additional funds for the downtown project at their meeting on Monday night. The council also approved an ordinance for a TIF redevelopment agreement with Angelfish Properties, LLC. Apart from the new agenda items, the council approved the minutes, bills, treasurer's report, and zoning officer's report. There was water sewage committee meeting before the regular meeting, but was executive session for its entirety. The next article, Deputy Charged in Tuscola Incident by Ben Crane. A former Douglas County Sheriff's deputy involved in an October crash that injured two people has been charged with Class A misdemeanor speeding, according to State's Attorney Robert Kosick. The charge alleges that Courtney Lowe was driving in excess of 70 miles per hour in a 35 mile per hour zone when she collided with a vehicle driven by Sue Wisavetti. Lowe reportedly was not using her lights or siren en route to a call. The accident caused the Wisavetti vehicle to roll over, injuring both Sue and Paul Wisavetti. Kosick said a special prosecutor filed the charge against Courtney Lowe, who's been ordered to appear in court on November 25th. He added that Lowe, who recently resigned from patrol duty, remains a witness in several active criminal cases from her time as a deputy. The crash occurred early September. Sue Wisavetti reportedly was attempting to cross U.S. 36 from the Dollar General parking lot to the Save More Pharmacy parking lot. At the time, Tuscola Police Chief Craig Hastings said both parties could be partly at fault. Wisavetti has not been cited. Lowe has since transitioned to a part-time dispatcher role with the Douglas County Sheriff's Office. The next article, Arcola teen charged with attempted murder following Urbana stabbings by Ben Crane. An Arcola teenager has been arrested in connection with a violent altercation that left poor people hospitalized Sunday evening in Urbana. According to a press release from the Urbana Police Department, officers were dispatched around 5:45 p.m. to the 1600 block of Hunter Street after receiving reports of a large fight involving approximately 15 people. While en route, police were informed that at least one individual had been stabbed. Upon arrival, officers found multiple victims suffering from apparent stabbings or cutting wounds. In total, four people were transported to local hospitals with injuries ranging from minor to life-threatening. Witnesses at the scene provided police with a description of the suspect and the vehicle he was seen leaving in. Responding officers quickly located the vehicle and identified a passenger as the alleged assailant. Police arrested 18-year-old Samuel Garcia of Arcola on a preliminary charge of attempted murder. The Urbana Police Department would like to thank the witnesses who provide quick and accurate information that helped officers identify and locate the suspect, officials said in the release. Authorities have not released additional information regarding the victims or what might have led to the altercation. Police remind the public that all individuals are presumed innocent unless proven guilty in a court of law. Anyone with information about the incident is urged to contact the Urbana Police Department at 217-384-2320. Information can also be submitted anonymously to Crime Stoppers by calling 217-373-TIPS 8477, visiting 375tips.com, or using the P3Tips mobile app. Crime Stopper offers a cash rewards up to $5,000 for tips that lead to an arrest in any homicide case, $2,500 for felony firearm-related arrests, and up to $1,000 for information resulting in an arrest and other crimes. As of press time, Urbana Police continue to investigate the incident. The next article, Area Schools to Honor Veterans Next Tuesday. ALAH, Arthur Lovington Atwood Hammond High School hosts its annual Veterans Day program Tuesday, November 11th, and all veterans and their families, as well as community members, are invited to attend. The day begins with a lunch prepared and served by the ALAH Family and Consumer Science students, FCCLA, in the East Gym for the veterans and their families. Following the meal, the Veterans Day Assembly will take place in the West Gym at 1 p.m. The program will feature tributes from the Military Service Club, FFA, Band, and Chorus, each expressing heartfelt gratitude for the sacrifices and service of our nation's veterans. This year, LAH High School is honored to welcome back Master Sergeant retired Craig Davis as the 2025 guest speaker. Davis began his military service in 2001 with the United States Navy and retired honorably in September 2023. Throughout his 22 years of service, he was stationed in Illinois, California, Colorado, and Alaska, and served 18 months in Iraq during Operation Iraqi Freedom. The National Honor Society will be providing valet parking service throughout the day, beginning at 11:15 a.m. Villa Grove schools invite all veterans, families, and community members to their Veterans Day Assembly on Tuesday, November 11th at 9 a.m. in the high school gym. Arcola. The annual Veterans Day celebration will be held Tuesday, November 11th at Arcola High School. All veterans and active members are welcome to attend and join the students for a luncheon. Please RSVP before the assembly. The assembly will feature music from the band and choir, student MCs, student escorts for the veterans, and student work. Community is welcome to attend the assembly. Valet parking and chair seating will be available. Tuscola. The Tuscola VFW is having their annual Veterans Day parade Tuesday, November 11th in Tuscola. Lineup is at 10 a.m. at the Irvin Park Pool and begins moving south on Main Street at 10:30 a.m. before turning right on Van Allen, ending at the courthouse. A ceremony will be held in the courtyard at 11 a.m. Tuscola High School is hosting their assembly at 9 a.m. And the next article, Store Pops Up in Arthur for Holiday Season by Marty Yackel. Some exciting news coming to downtown Arthur for the Christmas season. The Homestead Bakery and the Great Pumpkin Patch are opening a holiday pop-up shop at 202 South Vine Street, recently the General Store, on November 4th, which will run through December 23rd. Store hours will be Tuesdays through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. The Homestead Bakery south of town will still be open throughout the time as well. Mac Condell shared that the intent of this project is to take some of our favorite things from the farm and place them downtown. The anchors for this shop will be the Homestead Bakery, the 2 Mile Sweet Shop, and Mercantile. We'll have a full line of baked goods and dog treats made at the bakery. We're going to pack items from the 2 Mile Sweet Shop and also bring in some holiday candy, so it will definitely be a holiday feel to the shop. We'll have the Pumpkin Patch merch and apparel. We'll have our mugs and Arthur's stuff from the shop here at the patch. We think it'll be a great spot where a kid could come in, find something for their teacher, for example. Or if someone is looking for a Christmas present, this holiday pop-up might just be the place to go. Mac remarked, we will have some local makers, including Logan and Riley Kaufman, with their creations of crocheted items and glass jars, items that are now available at the Mercantile of the Patch. We also have candles to sell from local candle maker, and Charlie Condo will have some of her artwork and Christmas cards for sale. Joel's Design, Jill Johnson, Holbaugh, will have clothing and other merchandise on sale as well. Mac also mentioned that besides everything else, they will probably be bringing in some produce like spaghetti squash to sell. You know, they are excited to bring what they have to offer downtown and see how that goes. There's a lot of history in that building, which will come, as some will remember, as Brad's Jewelry, later as the Pewter Spoon. There are family connections with current employees of TGPP and involvement by the Condells with past efforts to bring the building back to life a few years ago, so it's kind of a full circle moment. We want to give it our all and see how these 2 months go. It's going to be fun, Max stated. The timing is appropriate at this weekend in Arthur. November 7th and 8th kicks off the holiday season with antique shows, Homestead on the Prairie at the Arthur's Sale Barn, both days, and Gathering on the Prairie at the Auto Center, Saturdays only. The annual Christmas Bazaar at the Methodist Church will be held on Friday and Saturday, 9 to 3 each day. The Arthur Park District is also hosting a fall market at the Merchant Building on Saturday at the fairgrounds. Be sure to check out these events happening in and around town and shop at the holiday pop-up shop and welcome them to Arthur's downtown. We'll move now to the obituaries. Janice Joyce Pierce, 84, of Arthur, joined her Heavenly Father on November 1st, 2025, surrounded by her loving family at ARC at Hickory Point Nursing Home in Forsyth. A private family service will be held at Schrader Funeral Home in Arthur at 1 p.m. on Saturday, November 8th. A graveside service and burial will follow at the Arthur Cemetery. Edith Reinhardt, 93, of Pisotum, died Monday, October 27th at Carl Hospital, surrounded by family. Funeral services were held at St. Mary's Church in rural Pisotum, Saturday, November 1st, with visitation prior to the funeral. Thomas Duker. A long time ago in a state, Washington, far, far away, Thomas Gilbert Duker II was born to Thomas and Mary Claire Duker on August 14th, 1974. Tragically, his story was brought to an end on October 23rd, 2025, after only a short 51 years. Visitation was held Saturday, November 1st, and Sunday, November 2nd, with a service Sunday afternoon at the Hilligoss Schrader Funeral Home in Tuscola. Jerry William Harned, 70, of Decatur, passed away Saturday, October 25th, 2025. A private family celebration of Jerry's life will be held at a later date. Tansius Logan Funeral Service and care is assigned to the arrangements. Barbara M. Dean, 91, of Tuscola, passed away suddenly at 7:20 p.m. Sunday, October 19, 2025, at the Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Per Barb's wishes, no public services will be held. Online condolences may be shared by Hilligoss, SchraderFH.com. Lois M. Saylor, 92 of Villa Grove, passed away Sunday, October 26, 2025, at Evergreen Senior Living in Champaign. No services will be held. Sarah M. Yoder, 76 of Arthur, passed away at 4:43 p.m. on Monday, October 27, 2025, at Sarah Bush Lincoln Health Center in Mattoon. Funeral services will be held Saturday, November 1st, at the Arthur Christian School. Arthur Pastor Jim Plank officiated. Burial followed in the Arthur Cemetery. Visitation was held Friday, October 31st, all at the school. The Edwards Funeral Home assisted with the arrangements. Dorothy Deal of St. Petersburg, Florida, passed away at the age of 86 on October 24, 2025 at 7 p.m. in her St. Petersburg, Florida home. Dorothy's ash will be laid to rest in the Young America Cemetery in Hume. A celebration of Dorothy's life will take place later in May or early June 2026 at the Hume Community Center. Details will be announced at this news outlet closer to the date. Holiday cheer, courthouse drum await youth at December 4-H events. This December, the Moultrie Douglas 4-H program is inviting all area youth, whether they're 4-H members or not, to take part in two hands-on events designed to spark creativity, curiosity, and community spirit. Greenery and Glitter Holiday Workshop, Saturday, December 13th, time 10:30 a.m. to 12 noon, location the Arthur United Methodist Church, 128 East Illinois Street, Arthur. Ages 5 to 18, 4-H and non-4-H youth welcome. Get ready to deck the halls with handmade holiday cheer. The Greenery and Glitter Holiday Workshop is a free event where youth can craft festive decorations, including making a greenery centerpiece, bath bombs to give away as Christmas gift, Christmas cards, and pine cone ornaments. Participants will sip hot cocoa and enjoy cookies in a warm, welcoming atmosphere. Attendees are encouraged to wear their favorite holiday gear and will walk away with a 4-H ornament of their choosing. This event is made possible through the support of Dr. Christina Edmonds Berhund, Carla Schoenard, the Moultrie Douglas Emerging Leaders 4-H Club, and the Moultrie Douglas Foundation. Pre-registration is required by December 1st at go.illinois.edu/greeneryandglitterworkshop. For questions or accommodations, contact 4-H Coordinator Rachel Stenger at 217-543-3755. And the Douglas County Courthouse Tour and Mock Trial on Monday, December 22nd from 3:15 to 4:30 p.m. at the Douglas County Courthouse, again, ages 5 to 18, open to all youth. Ever wondered what goes on behind courthouse doors? Youth will get a rare behind-the-scenes look at the Douglas County Courthouse, guided by Sheriff Nathan Chaplin and DARE Officer Adam Brazell. The tour includes a walk through the real courtrooms and offices with insight into the rules of government officials. The highlight of the afternoon is a live-action mock trial where participants can step into the roles of judge, attorney, witness, or jury members, led by Douglas County Judge, State's Attorney Robert Mokozik, and Bailiff Jeff Moore. This interactive experience brings the courtroom to life in a fun and educational way. No pre-registration is required. For questions or accommodations, contact Rachel Stinger, 217-543-3755. All community youth ages 5 to 18 are encouraged to attend these events. No 4-H membership is required. Whether you're looking to get crafty for the holidays or explore the world of law and justice, Moultrie Douglas 4-H has something special for you this December. And there are more Area Veterans Day celebrations at Wood Hammond. The public is invited to the annual Veterans Day program on Tuesday, November 11th at 10:30 a.m. at the 4-H Grade School / Junior High. The program will be given by the students and co-sponsored by the Atwood American Legion Auxiliary and Grade School. Lunch will be available for veterans and a guest at the Legion home after the program. Bement CUSD 5 will be hosting a school and community Veterans Day program on Tuesday, November 11th at Walsh Auditorium at 9 a.m. All area veterans are encouraged to attend and will be seated as a group on the gym floor. The music department will provide special music. The entire community is invited to attend the Veterans Day program. Cerro Gordo. On Tuesday, November 11th, Cerro Gordo CUSD number 100 will host their annual Veterans Breakfast at 8:15 a.m. in the CGHS cafeteria, followed by the Veterans Day Assembly at 9 a.m. in the CGHS auditorium. Piatt County American Legion. The 66th annual Veterans Day celebrations and parade will be held Tuesday, November 11th. This event is sponsored by the Piatt County Council of the American Legion and the Legion Auxiliary. The program, which leads off the evening, will begin at 7 p.m. at the reviewing stand located on the south side of the Courthouse Square in Monticello, Illinois. The program will include special address by the state commander of the American Legion, Roy Smith. Commander Smith was elected commander of the state convention in July 2025. A parade will follow the program, stepping off at 7:30 p.m. sharp. The parade will be led by the County American Legion commander and auxiliary present. Many schools, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, and entries from other organizations will participate. Point of contact is Charles Barr at 217-369-01115 or Nichols at 252-320-8138. Mount Zion Chamber. The Mount Zion Chamber of Commerce invites all veterans and their guests to its complimentary annual Veterans Day breakfast at 7 a.m. on Tuesday, November 11th at the Antioch Christian Church, 5409 East Route 36, Decatur. This year's event will honor those who have served the country. Jimmy Raid will be the featured speaker. Jimmy retired from the Army National Guard as a company first sergeant after 20 years of service. We'll also have the Macon County Honor Guard, Mount Zion A Cappella Ensemble, and we'll call the roll of armed services. The breakfast will include bacon, eggs, baked goods, coffee, orange juice, and water. Veterans are encouraged to attend as we pay tribute to the sacrifices and service of our nation's hero. RSVP is requested but not required. To RSVP by November 7th, call 217-864-2526. And Zion High School. Mount Zion High School. In an effort to educate the student population on the significance of Veterans Day, the senior contemporary American history class of Mount Zion High School present a special Veterans Day assembly on Monday morning, November 10th at 9 a.m. in the high school auditorium. The assembly program will include insights on the origins, traditions, and music associated with veterans and patriotism. Musical selections will be performed by the high school band, choir, and a cappella mixed ensemble. Mr. Kurt Cochran from the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs will give the keynote address. Any and all Mount Zion Decatur area veterans, as well as Mount Zion High School alumni veterans, are invited to attend and be recognized for their service. For more information and RSVP for the event, please contact Rich Hansen at the high school at 217-864-2363. And another article on Veterans Day, November 11th. Each November, millions of people recognize the service and sacrifice of military veterans on Veterans Day, initially commemorated as Armistice Day, but renamed Veterans Day in the United States in 1954. The holiday is a federal holiday throughout the country. The first Armistice Day was observed in 1919. Despite that lengthy history, the general public may still have questions about Veterans Day. When is Veterans Day observed? The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs notes that Veterans Day is always observed officially on November 11th, regardless of which day of the week that happens to be. In 2025, Veterans Day is Tuesday, November 11th. Why is November 11th significant? November 11th is given in the world history because it marks the signing of the armistice between the Allies of World War I and Germany at 5:45 a.m. on November 11th, 1918. Through the formal treaty, the Treaty of Versailles was not signed until 1919, and hostilities between the sides continued for hours after the armistice was signed. The day is still viewed as the end of World War I. How are Veterans Day and Memorial Day different? The VA notes that Veterans Day honors all those individuals who served honorably in the military during both wartime and peacetime. Memorial Day is a day to honor and remember military personnel who died in the service of their country, particularly those who lost their lives in battle or as a result of wounds sustained in battle. What is the significance of red poppies? Red poppies are ubiquitous on Memorial Day, but they're also visible on Veterans Day. Although it's not taboo to wear red poppies on Veterans Day, it's a tradition that aligns much more with Memorial Day. That's because these poppies are typically worn to honor fallen military personnel. A 1914 poem written by Canadian Lieutenant Colonel named John McCrae referred to the field of poppies growing over the graves of World War I soldiers in Flanders. Do other countries honor their military veterans? Many countries across the globe honor their military veterans, and many do so on November 11th as well. For example, Canadians and Australians observe Remembrance Day in honor of their nation's respective veterans on November 11th. Great Britain observes Remembrance Day on the Sunday nearest to November 11th. Veterans Day is a day to honor and commemorate the brave men and women who have honorably served in the U.S. military during wartime and peacetime. Another article, Low River Levels Disrupt Harvest Logistics by Tammy Sloop of Farm Week. While the Upper Mississippi River's locks and dam system is keeping navigation efficient, low river levels on the Lower Mississippi for the fourth consecutive year are threatening U.S. grain exports. During the past couple of months, drought has built up across both the Ohio and Lower Mississippi River basins, with historic low river levels leading to restrictions on barges and reduced movement of cargo on the lower stretch of the Mississippi. Tom Heinhold, chief of the Operations Division of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Rock Island District, said the upper channel's lock and dam system is open for business, but the story is a little bit different to the south. For business down south of St. Louis, it's not going to be business as usual. They'll have to load their barges a little lighter and push smaller tows to get the same product downstream, Heinhold told Jim Taylor of the RFD radio network. While a 9-foot channel is maintained by the lock and dam system for the upper Mississippi, drought conditions can take a greater toll on the lower Mississippi. Right now, we expect on upper Mississippi at least to have a fully open system, Reinhold said, but the draft and tow restrictions in the southern portion have to make more trips to get the same amount of barges downstream, so that's money that it costs, and the cost is transferred to the farmers who put their grain on these barges. So having a channel restriction due to low water south of St. Louis does impact our ag community, even up here where we have impounded stable channels. According to the USDA, barge freight rates from Cairo to Memphis were $19.53 per ton on September 23rd, a 31% increase from a month prior. However, they remain 14% lower compared to the same time last year. For the first half of 2025, nearly all Mississippi River Basin received precipitation above the long-term average. However, August was exceptionally dry, particularly for the Ohio River Basin. The historically low river levels are threatening the United States' critical connection to the global markets. Close to half of all U.S. corn, soybeans, and wheat exports move through the Mississippi River system. Over the past 5 years, an average of 65 million metric tons of bulk agricultural products travel by barge to terminals near New Orleans, where shipments were loaded onto ocean vessels bound for global customers. This inland water remains the most cost-effective way to connect Midwestern farms to foreign markets, ensuring U.S. agriculture can compete on price and reliability, according to American Farm Bureau Federation Market Intel. Barge restrictions in the lower Mississippi have already led to steep declines in southbound grain traffic. USDA's Agricultural Marketing Service, which tracks weekly barge movements of corn, soybeans, wheat, oats, barley, sorghum, and rye, previously reported that just over a month total southbound Mississippi River grain shipments fell from 24 million short tons to 502,000, a 79% drop. Current volumes are well below the 2019 to 2021 average of 1.63 million short tons, a period with limited drought impacts, according to ABFB. They are, however, slightly above the 2022 through 24 average of 462,000 short tons when droughts severely constrained navigation. During the 2022 event, agriculture exports via Louisiana ports fell by 3.9%, about $565 million, in the second half of the year, underscoring how quickly river problems translate into lost sales. Slower grain arrivals at Gulf terminals also risk creating sales to competitors like Brazil and Argentina, whose exports are quick to fill gaps when U.S. shipments are delayed, the Market Intel stated. The U.S. Coast Guard and U.S. Army Corps of Engineers have implemented record rounds of navigational restrictions and dredging operations since the beginning of September, which in the short run reduce barge capacity but raise it in the long term by mitigating the impacts of low water levels, according to the September 25th USDA Grain Transportation Report. Elevated barge rates and weaker basis are cutting further into farm income just as the bulk of the harvest comes to market, while exporters face delays that give competitors room to step in, according to AFBF. Keeping this system reliable will require continued dredging and infrastructure investment, but the simplest fix remains beyond anyone's control: timely rainfall across the basin. Until that relief arrives, farmers and shippers will continue to navigate a river running low and the cost ripple effects of doing so. Next article, kid-friendly holiday traditions. Tradition is a big part of the holiday season. Families lean into tradition each December, and perhaps no people participate in holiday customs with more enthusiasm than children. Whether it's decorating the family Christmas tree or baking cookies for Santa Claus on Christmas Eve, children look forward to various holiday season traditions once the calendar turns from November to December. Parents of young children can make this unique time of year even more special by engaging in various kid-friendly traditions that are sure to provide lots of fun and even more lasting memories. Advent calendars. The precise origin of Advent calendars is unknown, but historians believe the tradition was started by German Lutherans in the 19th century. More than a century later, roughly 50 million Advent calendars are sold across the globe each year, according to Marketplace.org. Advent is a nearly month-long period of preparation for the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ on December 25th. Each day during Advent, children open a flap window or door and find a small gift, poem, or candy, or some other item that adds to the excitement of the season. matching pajamas. Though the tradition of wearing matching pajama holiday pajamas may not have the same lengthy history as Advent calendars, it's nonetheless a very fun custom for families. Parents can decide how frequently their families dress up in matching pajamas at bedtime during the holiday season, but doing so on Christmas Eve is a popular way to make a fun day even more special. Another idea is to host weekly holiday movie nights during the season, which presents a perfect opportunity to don matching pajamas. Holiday Lights Tour. Holiday lighting displays have come a long way in recent decades. Whereas it once might have been popular to string a few strands of light around the exterior of a house, many holiday celebrants now beckon their inner Clark Griswold and turn their properties into areas with enough illumination to land a small plane. Holiday inflammables in the yard add to the awe of such displays. Kids tend to be especially fond of those types of displays, so parents can make a point to pick a night each holiday season to go on a tour of their neighborhoods and towns to see this year's offerings. Holiday dance party. Sweets are another staple of the holiday season, and what better way for kids to burn off some of that extra sugar than to dance it away on a holiday music playlist curated by mom and dad. Cue up some holiday classics, but let the kids dance to a few. Holiday traditions help to make the season a special time for you. Families can embrace various kid-friendly traditions to ensure children can have even more fun this December. Another article, affordable health screenings coming to Arthur. Residents living in and around Arthur can learn about their risk for cardiovascular disease, osteoporosis, diabetes, and other chronic serious conditions with affordable screenings by Lifeline Screening. Arthur Community Building will host this community event on November 18th. The site is located at 120 East Progress Street in Arthur. Screenings can check for the level of plaque buildup in your arteries related to risk for cardiovascular disease, stroke, and overall vascular health, HDL and LDL cholesterol levels, diabetes risk, kidney and thyroid function, and more. Screenings are affordable and convenient. Free parking is also available. There is a cost, but consultants will work with you to create a package that is right for you based on your age and risk factors. Call 1-877-237-1287 or visit their website at www.lifelinescreening.com. Pre-registration is required. And we have some time for some briefs. Arthur Candy Cane Wonderland Lighted Parade Information. Saturday, December 6th is the date for the Arthur Candy Cane Wonderland Annual Lighted Christmas Parade. If you can put lights on it, they invite you to join in the fun. The lineup for the parade will begin at 4:30 p.m. along Lincoln Street, south side of Arthur Grade School, and will step off promptly at 5:30 p.m. From Lincoln Street, it will head north up Vine Street and then turn east on Progress Street and back south on Hickory Street, making its way back to the school. There will be two prize categories awarded this year. The first is for Best Decorated Lighted Golf Cart, and the second is for Best Use of Lights-Themed Related Candy Cane Wonderland. For information, to obtain an entry form, please contact Stephanie Weirman at 217-620-7460. Mark your calendars now for the biggest Christmas event, including kids' activities, hot chocolate trail, visits and pictures with Santa, lighted parade, tree lighting, carols, and much more to make a massively fun-filled day in Arthur. The Tuscola House Tour. Tickets are on sale for the Tuscola Women's Club Annual House Walk, 1 to 5 p.m., Sunday, December 7th. Watch the paper for more information about the five homes that will be on the tour. Tickets may be purchased at Flesser's Candy Kitchen, Joe's Pizza, Hometown Grounds Coffee, and all Tuscola banks. For more information, call 217-246-2248. Several downtown shops will remain open for the event, including Hometown Grounds Coffee, The Vault, Shimmer and Chic, Flesser's Candy Kitchen, Joe's Pizza, and Cast Iron Pub. AI and marketing help. The Arcola Chamber of Commerce is partnering with the Small Business Development Center, SBDC, at Eastern Illinois University to host a free workshop on Wednesday, November 12th at 5:30 p.m. at the Arcola Community Center. Participants will learn the SPREAD framework and discover how to use AI tools to build stronger connections, save time, and market with purpose. Attendees will also leave with a mapped-out social media calendar tailored to their business goals. Interested and encouraged to RSVP by emailing hmmyers@arcolaillinois.org. The Chamber looks forward to welcoming a community with this hands-on session. And that is all we have time for this week. This is Chris Yerkes. Say goodbye and see you again next week.